The Christian in Complete Armor, Chapter 6, of the Spirituality of the Devil's Nature and Their Extreme Wickedness, Against Spiritual Wickedness. These words are the fourth branch in the description, Spiritual Wickednesses, and our contest or combat with them as such, expressed by the adversative particle against in the Greek. Word for word, against the spirituals of wickedness, which is, as some say, against wicked spirits. That is true, but not all. I conceive with many interpreters not only the spiritual nature of the devil and the wickedness thereof to be intended, but also, yea, chiefly, the nature and kind of those sins which these wicked spirits do most usually and vigorously provoke the saints unto. And they are the spirituals of wickedness, not those gross fleshly sins which the herd of beastly sinners like swine wallow in, but sin spiritualized in this, because it is not spirits but spirituals. The words present us with these three doctrinal conclusions. First, the devils are spirits. Secondly, the devils are spirits extremely wicked. Thirdly, these wicked spirits do chiefly annoy the saints with and provoke them to spiritual wickednesses. Section 1. First, they are spirits. Spirit is a word of various acceptation in Scripture, amongst other used often to set forth the essence and nature of angels, good and evil, both which are called spirits. The holy angels, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? The evil, there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 21. That spirit was a devil. How oft is the devil called the unclean spirit, foul spirit, lying spirit, etc.? Sin did not alter their substance. For then, as one saith well, that nature and substance which transgressed could not be punished. First, the devil is a spirit. That is, his essence is immaterial and simple, not compound, as corporal beings are, of matter and form. Handle and see me, saith Christ to his disciples, that thought they had seen a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and blood and bones, as ye see me have. In Luke chapter 24, verse 39, if they were not thus immaterial, how could they enter into bodies and possess them, as the Scripture tells us they have, even a legion into one man? Luke chapter 8, verse 30, one body cannot thus enter into another. Secondly, the devils are spiritual substance, not qualities, or evil motions arising from us, as some have absurdly convinced. So the Sadducees and others following them denied any such being as an angel, good or evil. But this is so fond a conceit that we must both forfeit our reason, deny the Scriptures to maintain it, where we find their creation related, Colossians 1:18, the fall of some from their first estate, Jude 6, and the standing of others called the elect angels. The happiness of the one who beholds God's face and their employment being sent out to attend on the saints as servants of their master's heirs, Hebrews chapter 1. The misery of the other, reserved in chains of darkness unto the judgment of the great day, and their present work, which is to do mischief to the souls and bodies of men as far as they are permitted, all of which show their subsistence plain enough. But so immersed is sorry man in flesh, that he will not easily believe what he sees not with his fleshly eyes. Upon the same account we may deny the being of God himself, being invisible. Thirdly, they are entire spiritual substances, which have every one proper existence, and thus they are distinguished from the souls of men, which are made to subsist in a human body, and together with it to make one perfect man, so that the soul, though when separated from the body death exists, yet hath a tendency to union with its body again. Fourthly, they are, though entire spiritual substances, yet finite, being but creatures. God only is the uncreated, infinite, and absolute simple spirit, yea, Father of all other spirits. Now from this spiritual nature of the devil, we may further see what a dreadful enemy we have to grapple with. First, as spirits, they are of vast intelligent abilities. Sorry, man, while in this dark prison of the body, hath not light enough to know that angelistic perfections are what they are, that they excel in knowledge all other creatures, we know, because as spirits they come nearest by creation to the nature of God that made them. The heavens are not lifted higher from the earth than angels by the knowledge from man while on earth. Man, by art, hath learned to take the height of the stars of heaven. But where is he that can tell how far is knowledge? Angels exceed men. It is true they have lost much of that knowledge they had, even all their knowledge as holy angels. What now they know of God hath lost its savor, and they have no power to use it for their own good. What Jude saith of wicked men may be said of them. What they know naturally in those things, they corrupt themselves. They know the holiness of God, but love him not for it, as the elect angels do, and themselves by creation did. They know the evil of sin, and love it not the less. But though they are such fools for themselves, yet have subtlety too much for all the saints on earth, if we had not a God to play our game for us. Secondly, as spirits they are invisible, and their approaches also. They come, and you see not your enemy. Indeed, this makes him so little feared by the ignorant world, whereas it is his greatest advantage, if rightly weighed. Oh, if men have an apparition of the devil or hear a noise in the night, they cry, "The devil, the devil," and are ready to run out of their wit for fear. But they carry him in their hearts and walk all the day long in his company and fear him not. When thy proud heart is clambering up to the pinnacle of honor in thy ambitious thoughts, who sets thee there but the devil? When thy adulterous heart is big with all manner of uncleanness and filthiness, who but Satan hath been there, begetting these brats on thy whorish spirit? When thou art raging in thy passion, throwing burning coals of wrath and fury about with thy inflamed tongue, where was it set on fire but of hell? When thou art hurried like the swine down the precipice, and even choked with thy own drunken vomit, who but the devil rides thee? Thirdly, as spirits they are immortal. Of other enemies you may hear news at last that they are dead which sought thy life, as the angel told Joseph of Herod. Persecuting men walk a turn or two upon the stage, and they are called off by death, and there is an end of all their plots. But devils die not. They will hunt thee to thy grave, and when thou diest, they will meet thee in another world, to accuse and torment thee there also. Fourthly, they are unaware in their motions when the fight is over among men. The conqueror must sit down and breathe, and so loses the chase, because not able to pursue it in time. Yea, some have given over their empires, as gluttoned with the blood of men, and weary of the work, when they cannot have their will as they desired. Thus, Diocletian, because he saw he didn't but mow a meadow that grew the thicker for the cutting it down, as Tertullian speaks of the Christian martyr, he throws away his scepter in a pet. Charles V did the like, some say, upon the same reason, because he could not root out the Lutherans. But the devil's spirit is never cowled, nor he wearied of doing mischief, though he never hath stood still since first he began his walk to and fro in the world. Oh, what would become of us if a God were not at our back, who is infinitely more than the devil's odds than ours? Section 2. Secondly, they are wicked spirits, wicked in the abstract as in the text, and called by way of eminency in sin the wicked one, Matthew 13:19, as God is called the Holy One, because none holy as the Lord. So the devil, the wicked one, because he is a non-such in sin. In a few particulars, let us endeavor to take the height of the devil's sins, and the rather that we may judge of the degrees of sins and sinners among the sons of men, the nearer God in holiness, the more holy. The liker the devil, the more wicked. First, these apostate angels are the inventors of sin. The first that sounded the trumpet of rebellion against their Maker and led the dance to all that sin which since hath filled the world. Now what tongue can ascend this sin to its full? What for such a noble creature, whom God hath set on the top, as it were, of all the creation nearest to himself, from whom God hath kept nothing but his own royal diadem, for this peer and favorite of the court, without any cause or solicitation from any other, to make this bold and blasphemous attempt to snatch at God's own crown. This paints the devil blacker than the thoughts of men and angels can conceive. He is called the father of lies, as those who have found out any art who are called the father of it. Tubal, the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. He invented music, and this is a dreadful aggravation, because they sinned without a tempter. And though man is not in such a degree capable of this aggravation, yet some men sin after the very similitude of the devil's transgression in this respect, who, as Paul, Romans 1:3, styles them, are inventors of evil things. Indeed, sin is an old trade found out to our hand, but as in other trades and arts, some famous men arise who add to the inventions of others and make trades and arts as it were new, so there are ever some infamous in their generation that make old sins new by superadding to the wickedness of others. Uncleanness is an old sin from the beginning, but the Sodomites will be filthy in a new way, and therefore it carries their name to this day. Some invent new errors, others new oaths, some are as are of their own coining, hot out of the mint, they scorn to swear after the fashion, and others new devices of persecuting, as Julian had a way by himself different from all before him, and to the end of the world every age will exceed other in the degrees of sinning. Ishmael and the mockers of the old world were but children and bunglers to the scoffers and cruel mockers of the last time. Well, take heed of showing thy wit in inventing new sins, lest thou stir up God to invent new punishments. Is it not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Job 31:3. Sodom sinned after a new mode, and God destroys them after a new way, sending hell from above upon them. Some have invented new opinions, monstrous errors, and God hath suited their monstrous errors with births as monstrous of their own body. Secondly, they were not only the inventors of sin, but are still the chief tempters to and promoters of sin in the world. Therefore, they are called tempter, and sin called the work of the devil. Whoever commits it, as the house goes by the name of the master workman, though he useth his servants' hands to build it, O take heed of soliciting others to sin. Thou takest the devil's office, as I may say, out of his hand. Let him do it himself, if he will. Make not thyself so like him. To tempt another is worse than to sin thyself. It speaks sin to be of the great growth that man that doeth it knowingly and willingly. Herbs and flowers shed not their seed till ripe. Creatures propagate not till of stature and age. What do those that tempt others but diffuse their wicked opinions and practices, and as it were raise up seed to the devil whereby to keep up the name of their infernal father in the world? This shows sin is mighty in them indeed. Many a man, though so cruel to his own soul as to be drunk or swear, yet will not like this in a child or servant. What are they, then, but devils incarnate who teach their children the devil's catechism, to swear and lie, drink and drab? If you meet such, be not afraid to call them, as Paul did Elymas when he would have perverted the deputy, children of the devil, full of all subtlety and mischief and enemies of all righteousness. Oh, do you not know what you do when you tempt? I will tell you. You do that which you cannot undo by your own repentancy. Thou poisonest one with error. Initiate another in the devil's school, alehouse, I mean, But afterwards, it may be, thou seest thy mistake and recantest thy error, thy folly, and givest over thy drunken trade. Art thou sure now to rectify and convert them with thyself? Alas, poor creature, this is out of thy power. They perhaps will say as he, though he did it upon a better account, that was solicited to turn back to popery by him who had before persuaded him to renounce the same. You have given me one turn, but shall not give me another. And what a grief to thy spirit will it be to see these going to hell on thy errand, and thou not be able to call them back. Thou mayest cry out as Lamech, I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Nay, thou art asleep in thy grave. He whom thou seducest may have drawn in others, and thy name may be quoted to commend the opinion and practice to others, by which, as it is said, though in another sense Abel, being dead, yet speaks. Thou mayest, though dead, sin in those that are alive, generation after generation. A little spark kindled by the error of one hath cost the pains of many ages to quench it, and when thought to be out, it hath broken forth again. Thirdly, they are not barely wicked, but maliciously wicked. The devil's name denoteth his spiteful nature, his desire to vex and injure others. When he draws souls to sin, it is not because he tastes any sweetness or finds any profit therein. He hath too much light to have any joy or peace in sin. He knows his doom and trembles at the thought of it, and yet his spiteful nature makes him violently desire and incessantly endeavor the damnation of souls. As you shall see a mad dog run after a flock of sheep, kill one, then another, and when dead, not able to eat of their flesh, but kills to kill. So Satan is carried out with a boundless range against man, especially the saints. He would not, if he could, leave one of Christ's flock alive. Such is the height of his malice against God, whom he hates with a perfect hatred, and because he cannot reach him with a direct blow, therefore he strikes him at second hand through his saints. That wicked arm, which reaches not to God, is extended against those excellent on the earth, well knowing the life of God is in a manner bound up in theirs. God cannot outlive his honor, and his honor speeds as his mercy is exalted or depressed. This being the attribute God means to honor in their salvation so highly, and therefore maligned above the rest by Satan. And this is the worst that can be said of these wicked spirits, that they maliciously spite God, and in God the glory of his mercy. Use 1. First, this may help us to conceive more fully what the desperate wickedness of man's nature is, which is so hard to be known, because it can never be seen at once, in being a fountain whose immensity consists not in the stream of actual sin that is visible and may seem little, but in the spring that incessantly feeds this. But here is a glass that will give us the shape of our hearts truly like ourselves. Seest thou the monstrous pitch and the height of wickedness that is in the devil? All this there is in the heart of every man. There is no less wickedness potentially in the tamest sinner on earth than in the devils themselves, and that one day thou, whoever thou art, will show to purpose if God prevent thee not by his renewing grace. Thou art not yet fledged, thy wings are not grown to make thee a flying dragon, but thou art of the same brood. The seed of this serpent is in thee, and the devil begets a child like himself. Thou yet standest in a soil not so proper for the ripening of sin, which will not come to its fullest till transplanted into hell. Thou who art here so defiant and modest as to blush at some sins out of shame, and forbear the acting of others out of fear, when there thou shalt see thy case as desperate as the devil doth his, when thou wilt spit out thy blasphemies, with which thy nature is stuffed with the same malice that he doth. The Indians have a conceit that when they die, they shall be transformed into the deformed likeness of the devil. Therefore, in their language, they have the same word for a dead man and the devil. Sin makes the wicked like him before they come there, but indeed they will come to their countenance more fully there, when those flames shall wash off that paint which here hides their complexion. The saints in heaven shall be like the angels in their love, and consistency to serve God and the damned, like the devils and sin, as well as punishment. This one consideration might be of excellent use to unbottom a sinner and abase him, so as never to have high thoughts of himself. It is easy to run down a person whose life is wicked, and convince him of the evil of his actions, and make him confess that what he doth is evil. But here is the thickest we lose him in. He will say, "It is true, I am overseen. I do what I should not, but God forgive me. But my heart is good." Thy heart good, sinner? And so is the devil's. His nature is wicked, and thine as bad as his. These pimples in thy face show the heat of thy corrupt nature within, and without gospel psyche, the blood of Christ applied to thee, wilt thou die a leper? None but Christ can give thee a new heart, till which thou wilt every day grow worse. Sin is an hereditary disease that increases with age. A young sinner will be an old devil. Use 2. Again, it would be of use to the saints, especially those in whom God by his timely call forestalled the devil's market, as sometimes the Spirit of God takes sin in its quarters before it comes into the field, in the sins of youth. Not so a one finding not those darling sins committed by him, that others have been left unto, may possibly not be affected so with his own sin, or God's mercy. Oh, let such a one behold here the wickedness of his heart in this glass of the devil's nature, and he will see himself as great a debtor to the mercy of God as Manasses, or the worst of sinners, as in pardoning, so in preventing the same cursed nature with theirs, before it rose against God with those bloody sins they committed. That thou didst not act such outrageous sins, thou art beholden to God's gracious restraint, and not to the goodness of thy nature, which hath the devil's stamp on it, for which God might have crushed thee, as we do the brood of serpents before they sting, knowing what they will do in time. Who will say that Flux suffered unjustly, because the parliament was not blown up? It was enough that the materials for the massacre were provided, and he taken there, with match and fire about him, ready to lay the train. And canst thou say, when God first took hold on thee, that thou hast not those weapons of rebellion about thee, a nature fully charged with enmity against God, which in time would have made its own report of what for present lay like unfired powder silent in thy bosom? O Christian, think of this, and be humbled for thy villainous nature, and say, Blessed be God that sent his Spirit and grace so opportunely to stay thy hand as Abigail to David, while thy nature meditated nothing but war against God and his laws. Again, thirdly, are the devils so wickedly malicious against God himself? O sirs, take the right notion of sin, and you will hate it. The reason why we are so easily persuaded to sin is because we understand not the bottom of his design in drawing a creature to sin. It is with man in sinning as it is with armies in fighting. Captains beat their drums for volunteers and promise all that enlist pay and plunder, and this makes them come trooping in. But if you consider what the ground of war is, against whom or for what, Satan entices to sin and gives golden promises what they shall have in his service, with which silly souls are won. But how few ask their souls, whom do I sin against? What is the devil's design in drawing me to sin? Shall I tell thee? Dost thou think it is thy pleasure or profit he desires in thy sinning? Alas, he means nothing less. He hath greater plots in his head than so. He hath by his apostasy proclaimed war against God, and he brings thee by sinning to espouse his quarrel and to hazard the life of thy soul in defense of his pride and lust, which that he may do. He cares no more for the damnation of thy soul than the great Turk doth to see a company of his slaves cut off for carrying on of his design in a siege. And darest thou venture to go into the field upon his quarrel against God? O earth, tremble thou at the presence of the Lord. This bloody Joab sets thee where never can any came off alive. O stand not where God's bullets fly. Throw down thy arms, or thou art a dead man. Whatever others do, O ye saints, abhor the thoughts of sinning willingly, which, when you do, you help the double against God. And what more unnatural than for a child to be seen in arms against his father? End of Ephesians 6, verse 12, chapter 6, having been read by Peter John Parisis. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.